So next up, we have Carl Sandbeck. Carl, go right ahead. Carl is a... No, that's fine. Carl is a supporter and friend of Youth Initiative. He is a born and raised New Yorker who's lived in Viroqua for 4 years. He played electric bass in the pit band for Heathers back in 2018. Carl's Meet Me Halfway story is entitled An Unlikely Friendship.
Oh, it's cool. You can't see anybody.
I don't want
to. You're not there. My real youth initiative connection was I've been friend hugged by Katie Fassbinder a bunch of times. It's a connection. Come on. Be nice. I got a lot of ground to cover, very little time. Whatever, okay? We'll start at the beginning, which was... I've been here 4 years. 2 years ago, my wife died. That's not the story. But it was sudden, okay? It was sudden, and she had a heart attack right in front of me in the living room, and so that changed a lot of things for me. But this isn't a story about loss. This is a story about finding something, okay? So that's pretty cool. Finding is a good thing. And, you know, you can look for things. I look for things in my house all the time. Things disappear in my house and then reappear. How does that happen? I'm all alone. But it does happen, and my glasses go some places, and pens I have go places, and there's a sweatshirt that I know is in the house. It is. It never left. I don't know. But finding is cool. It's cool to find things, and it's cool to look for things, you know, and be purposeful in your looking. Sometimes you should be looking, and you're not. Sometimes you're looking for something, and you don't know what it is. And I think after my wife died, I think I was in that kind of place, you know, where I was looking for something. I didn't know what it was, and I also wasn't really looking, but yet I should have been probably. And, you know, after. This is the thing that happens when. But then after that, you got to go on, and you got to live, right? So you... And then there's the idea of finding a friend, which would be a subtitle to this whole thing, is finding and there's a friend. And what's a friend? You got to think about what a friend is. And, you know, we know what friends are, right? We know what friends are. But yet... what is a friend? You know, there's a lot of people we would call friends. And, you know, people across the street. You know, we talk about gardening. There's people in the yoga class, you know, that are friend. You know, there's people, the book of faces, right? The book of faces that lists all the, you know. And, but you want to say, you know, is everybody your friend or are we just friendly? And there's a lot of people we're friendly with, and it's so important to be friendly and know people and say hello and accost them in the co-op and right, and say hi and oh, bop, 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 and, you know, lots of meaningless chatter or not meaningful chatter, you know, it depends. But most people you are friendly with, chances are, listen, let me just take a pause. This is a story that I tell myself because I need to hear the story of myself. So I tell myself the story to remind myself how I got here, you know, like I... And so you happen to be here listening to my story, which is cool, and I can't see you, which is cool. But if I say things that seem like pronouncements that I'm saying that I know everything about something, it's only me talking about myself. You know, and if you hook up to it, that's cool, and if you don't, that's cool. So let's think about that. I'm going to think about that. But, you know, you can take friends and all the people you're friendly with and you can divide them. And I want to divide that. I want to make, it's my story so I can make the division. And the division is the scorecard, okay? And there's a lot of people you're friendly with, but there's a scorecard. And if you do three times and they only do once, you know? All right. There's a scorecard, that's all. But the people who you really are your friends, there either is no scorecard, or the scorecard is always, it's all tied up. You know, it doesn't matter. You're a friend. Of course I would. You're my friend. Why wouldn't I? You know, we don't write that down. We don't think about that. But, you know, in moving from a place where suddenly you're alone and single to a place where you don't have any friends, There's a lot of obstacles you find to moving forward in the social world. And some of those obstacles are yourself, you know? But some of the things you have to do, if you want to make friends, you have to do something. If you want to make something, you have to do something, right? You can think, if you want to make something, you can't, it doesn't happen without you doing something. So you got to spend, you got to be, and you got to deal with this ball of stuff that's your schedule. You got to spend some time. If you want to make a friend, you got to spend some time, right? I mean, time when you're 30, when you're 40, when you're 50, when you're 60, when you're, you know, past 60, you know? That ball of time that you claim is your own is smaller and smaller, and so spending it on someone else is a thing, right? It's a little, am I getting something back for this spending? You got to make a decision about to spend. But if you want a friend, you got to spend some time, you know? And if you want a friend, you got to be a friend first. You know, if you can't be a friend and you just want a friend, you know, maybe you just want an audience, you know? You know? Like, this is what happened to me today, hey, you know? Or, oh, it's just a hard day. You know? But that's it, you know? There's nothing, I don't care about what you're doing, you know? An audience, you know? But that's different. If you want a friend, that's, you know, you got to be a friend. And that's, it takes something, you know? And then there's this ball of thing called schedule, which you can use, you know, which you can complain about, but you can use to your benefit and say, oh, I have no time. Sorry. I have no time. Look at what I have to do, you know? And, you know, we have to do stuff, right? We got to work and clean and cook and feed and take care of those peripheral people that keep pestering, you know? You know, all that stuff. But does that take up at all? Is it all taken up, you know? Or is it need to be reoriented somehow and there's another issue with finding a friend, and that's the boundaries. And we need boundaries, right? Boundaries are good. You know, I need boundaries so you don't, and I'm... But there's a point where boundaries, we use them artificially because we're afraid, right? I'm talking to myself here. I know everybody else is perfect, so you don't have to listen to this part so much. But we use boundaries because we're afraid. And so if I reveal too much about myself, if I step too close, if I come too close to you, if I try to meet you in the middle, huh? Okay, thank you. If I do that, I get points for that, so, you know, just... If I try to meet you in the middle and I have to take a step, and what that means is if I reveal too much about myself to you, you have the opportunity to engage in what we call judgment, right? Don't we? Oh, you know about that one. You hear about him? He's got problems. I can't tell you now. You would let yourself in for that. You could, right? But if you want to actually meet somebody and make a friend, or you know, another human being, you have to take a step in that direction. And you know, and they could take the step of two steps up to the okay. But you introduce that possibility by taking the step, right? To say, here's who I am. And you can't do it with everybody. Just people you're friendly with, you've got to be careful with sometimes. But I'll think of it. I wrote it down. She introduced this concept of the notes was already introduced, so I'm not.
Needs.
The other thing with when you start to show someone else who you are, you realize you're like everybody else. You know, when the boundaries are up and the borders are up and you're inside your little place, your encampment, you're pretty self-sufficient. I can take care of everything I have. All my problems I can take care of. I don't need your help. But when you start to get a little closer to any one individual and you start to see that individual, you start to see that I'm just like everybody else. Holy crap, I got needs too. Your mouth opens and you start to express some things that you have needs about. And it's disappointing, but it's true, right? It's true. And to have a friend, it's good to have someone you can talk to about things that are like really real, you know? Not just pretend. And then there's the other part, which is a little problem when you try to make a friend and you find that you screw up sometimes, you know? Like, and we're all perfect, I know. But sometimes Carl, opens his mouth and things come out, and there they are, and I see them, and they haven't really got there yet. There they go, but It doesn't happen, right? It doesn't happen. And there they go. And so the cowards would say, I don't think they were listening, you know, or I think they'll forget. But if you open yourself up to try to be a friend with someone and to try and change the social order of the world you're living in with one other person, you have to take that thing. The other day I opened my mouth and I said something, and man, was that messed up. I'm sorry. And so it's a big thing. There's a lot of stuff that holds you back from, you know, stepping into the world, and opposite of what Zarellia said about evolving and where everybody knows who you are. I was in a place where I was evolving praying I could evolve, and nobody knew my story, and nobody knew who I was. And so, I didn't understand any of the social rules. So, all right, that's the context. So I've been married. I was married once. You know, in the world of marriage, you know, there's a whole bunch of variations that can occur. I don't want to be. I was. I was married a couple times. I was married 5 times. None of them worked. There's a whole thing. In my case, it doesn't matter. It's no, you know, in my case, it was only once. And I was married for 50 years. I was 12. There was a shotgun. But true. I was married 50 years. It was 18,211 days, if you want to know. And I spent almost every single one of them with this woman. And you know, there's a lot of that, you know, good and bad. But, you know, that was the decision we made, and we did. And it was okay, and it was not a problem. But in any relationship, at least in my relationship, and I don't know about anybody else, but there's a feeling of I'm giving a lot, and I'm not taking that much back. You know, give and take. But I'm sure if I was her, she would have felt, giving a lot, and I'm not taking too much back on her side, but I don't know that side. I only know my side. And my side, I felt like I was giving a lot and not taking as much back. And that builds up things in your mind to say, you know, if I only had some freedom and I wasn't with this and I wasn't doing that, this is what I would do and this is who I would be, and I know it. And then one day, you know, and you are that person who is no longer in a relationship. And you got to get over the thing that happened and all that stuff. And there's a lot of that stuff, and it doesn't all go away. But stepping over that, now you're a person in the world. And who are you? Who are you? And I have family. I have a couple daughters who I love and cherish and are so amazing. And they surprise me. And I just can't wait to see what they do next. But I'm a dad, you know, and I don't need to review the dad stuff, you know? I need to be who I am as a person stuff, and I don't know who that was. I didn't know who that was. And the only thing I could think of to do was to, you know, in my little onesies, to think of, go out and see some music, and there wasn't much going on at that time 2 years ago. But there was, Old Oak was happening. I went out to the Old Oak. I went there a bunch of times. I brought my granddaughter. That was fun. She'd run around. I'd watch her, and I could sit by myself, not get involved with anybody. But one day, same thing, and I happened to, there was a woman, a lot younger, woman, whose name is Christina, who happened to be there, and of course, I would never, never, never have talked to her, because she's a lot younger, you know, attractive and sort of wild looking, sort of. In a good way, but you know, you know, I'm an old man. You can see that, and never. But here's what happened, and the child rule comes into play, and this is written down. If two adult people, and two children are all together at the same time, conversation can happen, and there's no harm, no foul. It's a rule. You can Google it. And so we talked because the kids were playing and whatever, you know, whatever. And so she said who she was and where she came from, and she was in Madison and this and that, and I was from New York and this and that, and okay. And that was it. Time to go home. We went home. you know, moving home. In case you were confused. But then, out of the blue, okay, out of the blue, this woman has the nerve to buy a house like four doors down from me. You know, nothing to do with me, and, you know, just the way it worked out. And I knew she lived there because that's how I have to drive to go to stores. It's a small town. There's only one way to go. And that's the way. And I'm sure I saw her a couple times outside, whatever, you know, but I wouldn't, like, wouldn't be like, I wouldn't wave to her, like, you know, like, because, you know, because. That's crazy. But one day, I'm a little conflicted, and I'm a little like this in my brain, you know, a little like that, like I got to get out of the house. I should go out of the house. I shouldn't be in here by myself. There's weapons here, you know. There's things. So I do. I go out of the house, and I walk down the block, and I'm standing on the corner thinking, should I go around the block and go take that walk all the way up there up the hill, or should I walk into town and just clear my head, or should I just stand here and watch cars and be stupid? And Christina walks out of her house. I wasn't paying attention to any of that. And she, Carl, is that you? And I'm like, yeah. Okay. And she said, you ought to come over and sit down. I said, sit on the porch. I'm not doing anything. What are you doing? No, I'm not doing anything. So whatever. So we sit down and we're talking. And she's like Chatty Cathy and talking to me. And a human level, on a real talking about herself in a way like, I want to talk to somebody. I just want to talk to somebody. And I'm feeling that, you know, like, wow. And then kids, something, mom, and, you know, and oh, got to go, and that, you know, whatever. It's all organic, how things happen. And I go home, and I could have felt a couple of ways about that, but I felt guilty. I felt like, wow, I was just in the presence of a human being who spoke to me in a real personal level and talked about themselves, and I didn't get a chance to do the same thing. Just to say about myself, you know? And it's like I was disappointed and I was aggravated and I know what to do about it, you know? I just felt I couldn't get rid of that. You know, what do you do when you receive some information from someone that's genuine? Nothing deep or bad or harmful or horrible, but just a real touch, you know? And I purposed that I should go back and say, I need my chance, you know, or whatever the words were, or, you know, every kind of stupidness, you know? You know, hi. And I felt like, okay, I guess I can knock on her door, I guess. I'm not sure. Is that okay? I don't know. You know? And it was okay. It was okay. And you know, I somehow stumbled through this proposal that I had that I wanted to sit down and talk again, you know. And it was my turn. That's for real, too, yeah. And, you know, we had a nice conversation, and I felt like that it was unlikely that this person would be talking to me or I'd be talking to her, but we were. And human beings, you know, just human beings. That was all. And, you know, time goes on, and it seemed like it was okay to sort of every once in a while come by and say hello. And you know, I could, that's my knock. I use that knock. And it was okay for her to say, oh, come in, or not now, which was both okay. But as time goes on, a little time, and it was okay to do that, and it seemed okay. You're in the house, and what do you do? What do you do when you're in the house? You're an adult. She's an adult. There's three kids that are boys, all right? That are active, energetic boys, and stuff happens to be, you know, they pick it up, but they drop it. That's what they do. And so you're a person in the house, don't you pick up something? You see something, you're standing, what are you doing? You're a person in the house, don't you pick something up? Don't you put it over here, because you could get your plate and put it in the sink? Couldn't you do that when you're a guest, and you want to sit down and be waited on? No, you're a friend, and you want to, you know, and it's just natural to sit there and, oh, I could help with that, I could do that, while you're there. Not for nothing, you know? Nothing's nothing. But, and gradually it seemed like it's okay to just have someone to talk to out of the blue when I had no idea of how to go about that kind of social endeavor, you know? And I write songs. And so I had some thing on my side. I need someone to listen to this stuff, this crazy, stupid stuff that I'm doing in my own head. And she would listen. You know, she's a musician. She knows a lot. She's pretty smart. And I get to play a little bit and get it out of my head a little bit. And I just want to say that there's a lot of stuff that prevents you from doing stuff, you know? And Zarelli is talking about, you know, how people know everything. And so, you know, how do you change? How do you change when everybody's already got you pegged? You know, I think she was saying that. And I, don't let me, you know, make up something she wasn't saying. But I'm saying the opposite. How do you get started in something when no one has you pegged and no one knows about you and you're like, ugh, what's the rules? I don't know. I was with someone for 50 years. I was 21, and then I was older. And you can add, if you can, if you have your acumen, you know, you could do that and figure it out. I didn't say that right. I know that. But the world changed a lot in that span of time. And the rules are way different. And trying to figure that stuff out now is not easy. And making mistakes is really easy. And it's cool that things can happen, though, isn't it? It's cool that things can happen, even though when it seems hard, it's cool that things can happen. And it's cool you guys are sitting here and listening to me talk about myself. Thank you.